Hi, everyone. Welcome and thank you for tuning into The Animal Files, the podcast where we expose the truth, science, and spirituality of pet care and provide you with the wisdom and tools you need to raise happy and healthy companion animals. My name is Victoria, an animal spirituality facilitator and integrative energy practitioner.
And my name is Miranda, an animal health technologist and pet care safety expert.
Let's dive in, shall we?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Animal Files. We are fully well into our season 4, and today we are going to talk about something we call the feline fusion. What does that mean? That means adding a new cat to the mix. This is something that some people talk about, most people do not, and it is kind of important to understand that if you are an animal lover and you like to rescue animals or you like to bring new animals into the house, there's a lot of tips and tricks that you need to do to make sure you can do that seamlessly, effectively, without too many challenges or those little cat fights that we like to stay away from. So Miranda, what should they know?
So let's start with a couple of questions for you guys. Have you ever introduced a new cat to your household where other cats or animals are already residing? Did you introduce them slowly? Or did you perhaps just say, hi, here's a new friend for you. Have fun. If you did, how did that go? And if you did introduce them slowly, how did that go? Mm. Now, introducing them slowly is a little bit more complicated than that sort of sounds like. And we're going to go into that to help you see what all is involved with that. So unless the animals in your household are extremely laid back, it probably didn't go over so well if you just threw them together, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to cats, personality and territory are two really, really big factors when we're considering bringing a new cat into the household. Not all cats are going to get along together. Not all cats are going to get along with other dogs or other types of pets. And we also need to consider what their gender is, what their health is, and what their dominance level is.
That's really important.
So slow and steady is generally the rule of the game. But in some cases, certain cats will never be able to engage with other cats in the household without a fight.
Yeah, I had two cats, 12 years they had to stay separated. It was Saki Sue and Tic Tac. And Saki Sue put Tic Tac in the hospital 3 times, 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a setup that allows for them to live separately, then that's great. If you don't have that kind of setup, then unfortunately, you might have to look for other arrangements in order to serve the best interests of both cats.
Yeah, this is the time when the cat comes before your wants.
Mm-hmm. So what this means is that cats that are meeting for the first time should not immediately have any physical engagement. It's really important that they be kept separated for a period of time while utilizing slow steps of introduction. Now, I know Victoria has had multiple cats in her life and mm-hmm. I'm sure has lots of experiences that she can share with you.
Yeah, too many for one podcast, but... But I can tell you that definitely I have had cats that, like I said, Saki Sue and Tic Tac just never got along. But I've had other cats that welcomed every animal I came into the house. And I only had to keep them separated until they got used to the scent and then they were fine. So it can span the gamut mm-hmm. of ease to difficult or impossible. Now, luckily, I have not had an impossible because Tic Tac was fully okay with having daddy all to herself and having the room all to herself. And she was extremely happy and it was fine. As long as she had her daddy, as long as she had her bed, she was perfectly happy. And Saki Sue was perfectly happy not to have her in the rest of the house, but that's rare. And that's not necessarily fair if you have a cat that is more social. Tic Tac was not a social cat. She was attached to Daddy, and that's pretty much it. So it was fine for her. But most cats, believe it or not, are social beings. So keeping them separated for their entire life may not be kind to them.
Can you address how it was Tic Tac that was living in the bedroom, right?
Yes.
So how you managed Tic Tac's well-being and exercise and enrichment and all that kind of stuff with being just in the bedroom?
Oh, we played with her. Well, Brian played with her. Most of the time when I tried to go in and play with her, she's like, what are you doing here? So most of that fell on Brian's shoulders. Tic Tac pretty much imprinted on Brian early on when she was a kitten. So he basically, all of that fell on his shoulders, and he loved his Tic Tac. So they spent a lot of time together. We had a couple toys that she would toss around the room and he would play with her and stuff like that. So she did get the enrichment she needed. You know, we would open the window a little bit so she had the outside. She was, you know, she had her window TV, I guess you could say. And then I would go in and just kind of sit with her and talk with her and do the things like the mommy things. I was the mommy person. I was the taking care of her. You know, if she had a health issue, or I'd clip her nails. And actually most of the time I had to clip the nails while Daddy fed her food, because she was one of those cats that just didn't like her paws touched. So it was kind of a joint effort, but most of that fell on Brian's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And she was perfectly happy. She was a little bit of a sedentary cat, I will have to say, but she liked to climb. So we made sure we had places that she could jump onto and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, every animal is an individual. She wasn't a high maintenance cat. Mm-hmm. She never was, even from kitten. She just never was a high maintenance cat. So it was kind of easy. Now, Saki Sue, on the other hand, she would never have been okay being in a bedroom by herself, because she was highly active. She needed to be involved, and she just needed a lot of attention. So that's why, you know, we use their personalities as a way to figure out how we're going to do the situation. But it worked. It worked. And eventually Tic Tac was able, when Saki Sue passed away, Tic Tac, actually when Carly passed away, because, you know, like the abusee turned into the abuser. So after Saki Sue died, we tried to bring her into the house, and then she started attacking Carly because Carly was smaller than her. And so we had to wait until Carly passed away, which is a couple years later, and then she came out. And then, you know, my Spike was like, don't you mess with my brother, and she fell into place and it was fine. And then she lived the, you know, her last couple years of life with two other cats happily. So it worked out, but I would think that's a rare situation.
Right, I think so too. But I mean, that whole story shows how personality and territory and dominance and all of that comes into play, and why we have to really consider those aspects.
Yeah. And Saki Sue was the problem, because Saki Sue was my cat, and any animal that came in after she came in, she had a problem with. So for a while there, I had to keep Carly and Akira separated from her for I think about a year, and then we were able to put them in. We would do little bouts of, okay, well, let's try it, but those two cats preferred to stay in one part of the house most of the time because of Saki Sue. And then eventually they just got to the point where like Saki Sue just tolerated them, and then Akira got too big, so Saki Sue wouldn't mess with Akira because he was 19 pounds. So
yeah, so like that introduction time can vary greatly between cats. It could be a very short period of time, or it could be a really long period of time, or it could be never.
yeah, because my other cats, like I had Guinevere and Moondust, they accepted Sabine right away. I didn't have to separate them at all. And then those three cats accepted the next two cats like no problem. Never had a problem. It was when Saki Sue came into the mix. Now, even though they accepted Saki Sue, Tic Tac, who came in after Saki Sue, Saki Sue was like, my house. And so that was where the dynamic changed. So again, you can have the gamut. You have cats that are like, fine, new friend. Yay, great. And others like, how dare you enter my home? Mm-hmm. So it's unique to every situation, but my situation with Tic Tac and Saki Sue, that I would think would be very rare.
Mm-hmm. And so in this first half, we're going to highlight the general steps to take when introducing new cats to each other. And then after the break, we are going to come back and we're going to explore those steps in more detail for you.
Yeah. And hopefully some of my experiences can help kind of put things into a nice little picture frame.
Mm-hmm. So if you are thinking of bringing another cat into your home because you think the cat you have currently is lonely or needs some kind of a playmate or companion or something like that, really think about the personality and dominant. Well, you might not know the dominance necessarily if it hasn't had interaction with other cats, but really look at the personality and consider whether or not the cat you already have is likely to accept another cat in the home. So your first step is that you need to prepare.
Oh, yeah. You can't just do it willy-nilly. Oh, let me go to the rescue and pick up another cat. Sure. Yeah. Everybody will be fine. Yeah, no. That will not happen.
If you have the opportunity to maybe bring the cat that you currently have to a shelter or someplace like that where you can kind of have some sort of engagement with the other cats, not direct physical engagement, because you don't want to have a cat fight and neither do the shelters or rescues. But there might be some kind of a setup where you might be able to gauge how your cat is going to react with another cat or with the cat that you might be considering. That's not going to be the case everywhere, but some places might have some kind of a setup for that. But barring that, you want to prepare an area where your new cat is going to be staying. Okay, so you want to make sure that they have a living space for however long it might take until you're able to integrate them, if you're able to integrate them.
And just know it could be 6 months to a year.
Yeah. So you can kind of consider this to be sort of the base camp. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need to make sure you have things like a litter box, toys, enrichment items, a place for your cat to hide and sleep, and a place for them to eat and drink, because they're going to be doing all of that in this area. You'll also need to prepare ahead of time to have some kind of a barrier that's going to prevent visual access to your other animals and vice versa. And a highly critical thing, if you are bringing a cat from outside that is not from a rescue or someplace where they would have already pre-tested them for any kind of illnesses, if you have no idea what their health is, make sure you make plans to get your new cat tested by your vet. Because if they're carrying any kind of contagious illness, they're going to pass that on most likely to your current animals, your current cats.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a dog and a cat, probably not so much of an issue, but still not necessarily a guarantee, because it could be a parasite or something like that.
Yeah. And that's why you want an extra litter box. So even if you have a cat that is like, sure, I'll accept a new one, you still need a separate litter box just in case for contagious diseases. I would recommend that if you do have a cat that is very loving and accepting, that before you introduce them, you make sure that the cat's tested.
Definitely.
Keep them separated, even if you don't need to, until you know. It's like quarantine period, because most cat contagions are passed through saliva and feces. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of easy to pass those if they're going to share a water bowl, they're going to share a food bowl, if they're going to share a litter box, all that stuff is going to transmit any type of contagion if they have it. So you do need a quarantine stage, even if you have a cat that is accepting and welcoming to other animals.
Mm-hmm. The next step is going to be to provide visual access. This is where that barrier comes into play, because there's a couple of aspects where there's going to be the barrier where there is no visual access whatsoever. And then there's going to be a barrier where you provide gradual visual access, but still no physical access.
Baby gates.
That's one option. Yes.
That's what we used. We used baby gates. We had to build up our baby gate because Maisie was so skinny, she would walk right through the slats. So we had to build it up. But something where after you've had the quarantine period, they can get that visual look at each other, because that's literally the next step in any animal's process of trying to acquaint itself to another animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because before they have that visual access, they have scent access.
Yeah.
They smell each other. We'll get into that a little bit more detail later, but they use the scent as a way to gauge what their relationship is going to be with each other. And then you use that as a gauge to see whether or not to move to the next step of the visual access. So when all the animal members of the household seem to have developed a tolerance for each other's presence, which is going to be based on smell and vocalizations only, then that's when you can start using a barrier that will help to provide gradual visual sight of each other. And whatever you use, whether it's a baby gate or something else, you want to make sure that what you use is not going to allow anyone to jump over, squeeze through, or push over. That's why considering the barrier in the prep stage is important, so that you can already have something ready to go.
Yeah. And they make gates that are quite tall. That could be a little bit of a pricey thing, but you could do what we had. We had a 36-inch gate, which is pretty tall for kittens. Mm-hmm. But once they get bigger, they can jump. Basically, we just zip tied stuff to make it taller. It didn't look very pretty, but we zip tied stuff to the gate to make it taller so they couldn't jump over.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked fine. I mean, it doesn't have to last forever, but that's an easy way to take a smaller gate and make it taller without having to spend hundreds of dollars.
And then the third step of the introduction is you start to allow the physical engagement. So if you have gauged that the animal members in your house are tolerating each other enough through smell, vocalizations, and visual contact, now you can try putting both or all cats or all animals in a room together where you monitor their interactions. You don't just throw them in there and just like, okay.
Have at it.
So you got to make sure that you got the timing so that you can stay there and you're not distracted with other things. You're not playing on your cell phone. You're not talking on the phone. You're not busy making something in the kitchen or anything like that. You are fully engaged with this introduction process. So maybe the first time or few times that you do this, you might only be able to do it for 10 minutes. And then you might start to notice that the behaviors of the cats are starting to show some friction. As soon as you start noticing that, you separate them and you put them back in their corners, like you would consider like in a boxing ring. And this could be worked up to maybe an hour until you can feel certain that the cats can interact with each other on their own without any major issues and without constant supervision. Now, I actually kind of saw a little bit of this process with some bunnies a few months ago. We have some outdoor bunnies that the owner set up a pretty cool setup for them in the front of their yard. It may not be 100% ideal, but that's another story. But they have access to their food. They've got access to a couple of different shelters. A couple are just shelter from wind and rain and things like that, but they're not heated. But then they've got one main shelter that they can go into that offers warmth and a lot of space, and they can go and sleep there and everything too. At any rate, there was one bunny that ended up losing its companion. I don't know the story about what happened to the other bunny, but they ended up bringing a rescue bunny in to have as a companion for this bunny. So the bunny that was already there was a male. The rescue bunny that they brought in was a female, or is a female. And they had to keep them separated just in the same way as we'd have to do it with cats. And there is a thing where the female bunnies can be more dominant. So they also had to do this gradual physical introduction I don't know all how they did that, but I know that there was one time when I came by and walked by their yard, the daughter was out there and she was monitoring the two bunnies to observe how they were engaging with each other and whether they were accepting each other yet or not. And she had said that they had been doing this regularly and that they had been gradually increasing the amount of time.
Yep, it's not just cats.
Mm-hmm. And I saw them just recently and they have bonded with each other. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, when, you know, my first, I call it my first chapter, the first five cats that I had that were all very accepting of one another, they were outside of Gabriella, who was the deaf one, the autistic one that just didn't get along with anybody, but she tolerated everybody and everybody tolerated her. They would always be in like a pile. I have pictures of like the four cats all in a pile. And then Gabby over here in the corner, but they're still on the couch. Mm-hmm. Gabby was like, you know, like a foot away or 2 feet away or whatever like that. But the other cats were all in a pile. And, you know, people told me that was unique, but that was the personality of those cats. They just loved and accepted everybody. And it was very cool to have that, because I had that for, I would probably say it's a good 15 years of having these cats. So bonded that they always slept like that, which was kind of cool, you know, because I didn't have to do these steps. They just welcomed everybody. I mean, they even welcomed the birds, the hamsters, the guinea pigs. So I have pictures of Sabine touching noses with my guinea pig. Like, it just, they were just so welcoming. I'm glad I had that opportunity to have that. But yeah, that's kind of rare. Because I never had to do these steps.
Right.
Because these steps are really important. Like I said, Saki Sue put Tic Tac in the hospital 3 times. That's a lot of money.
Yes.
And this is all like within the first year and a half of Tic Tac being with us. And then that was it, that we didn't even try to introduce them. That's when Tic Tac just stayed in the bedroom. And she was happy about that. I mean, maybe she was traumatized by Saki Sue. I'm not sure, but she was more than happy to not even try to get out of the bedroom. She was like, nope, this is my spot and I am the queen of my room. That was kind of her behavior. But yeah, I know it was rough going in the first start, and I kept trying. Luckily, I had a good vet and I had the money to take care of anything. And we didn't have too many problems, just a couple puncture wounds that got infected. That's all we really had. So it can be rough.
Mm-hmm. So when you start this process of the physical engagement, you want to make sure that each cat is going to have something to engage with and not just each other.
Yes, definitely.
So make sure you have toys available, treats available, play with one or both, maybe alternate playing with them, because you also don't really want one to get sort of jealous. I mean, it's not jealousy exactly, but it's kind of like, well, I want that too.
Yeah. Hey, if you got to buy two toys of the same thing, buy two toys of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So you need to be vigilant and observe the signs that the introduction might be starting to move towards an aggression or a fight, so that you can try to stop that before it happens. And we'll go more into that after the break and how you can try to prevent that. So be aware as well that when you're introducing a new kitten compared to an adult cat, this is going to require different approaches, because kittens typically have not developed a strong understanding of boundaries when engaging with other cats.
Yeah. And little note, don't take this for gospel. It's not always going to be the same with every cat, but kittens are generally more accepted than adult cats to another cat.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but there are many, many stories out there when you have an old elderly cat who's lonely because he's all by himself, and you bring in a kitten, all of a sudden he turns into a kitten himself.
Yes.
My problem with Saki Sue and Tic Tac started when they were both kittens. So it wasn't me introducing them to an older cat. It was the two kittens that were having a problem with each other. So that, like I said, my situation was probably a little bit rare. But just know that even though you still want to do these steps, do not skimp on these steps. They may take a couple weeks. They may take a couple of days. It might take a couple months. It doesn't matter how long it takes. You always have to do these steps. but just know that kittens are more accepted by older cats than an older cat is accepted by an older cat. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know what it is.
I think also, particularly if a cat has lived by itself for a long period of time and it's used to having its own space and not having to share it with anyone.
Yeah, it's going to take time. Always do the steps. You might get lucky and you might have to do the steps in a matter of just a week. But just know that it typically takes, and I say this to a lot of people, it typically takes 6 months for a cat to accept another cat fully. Just keep that in your noggin. It could be shorter, it could be longer, but always think that, okay, it's going to take me 6 months. These guys are best friends. You'll at least be in a ballpark of like, okay, I can adapt where I need to adapt, but just know that you're going to have the 6 month period that anything could happen. That's been my experience with other people who have asked me for help when introducing cats to other cats.
Yeah. And the whole point of this is to help reduce the stress and possibly physical injuries by following this process.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't, it's kind of a gamble what you're going to end up getting.
Yeah. And you always have to keep it in the back of your mind that it may not work. And then you have to put the cat before your wants and your needs. Mm-hmm. If the cat is not happy and you can't introduce the cat, then you are going to have to try to either bring it back to the rescue and say, look, this isn't working, or you need to, you know, you just need to put the cat first. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was a lot. We got more coming up. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Miranda and I would like to thank you so much for joining us as we begin season 4 of the Animal Files podcast. This season, we have so many great topics and fantastic guests to share with you. So we would like to invite you to join us each week as we bring you the information you need to help you, your pet, and your family truly thrive. And if you want even more information, be sure to check out our website, theanimalfilespodcast.com, where we got lots of resources, and you can even connect with us on our socials. Now that that's out of the way, let's get back to the conversation. And we are back. In the first half, we gave you a basic overview on how to introduce new cats to each other. And we talked a little bit about preparation. We talked about providing visual access. We talked about physical engagement. However, there's a whole bunch more involved. So Miranda, let's go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, we're going to explore this overview in a more step-by-step process for you, starting again with the first step of preparation. So ideally, you want to start this before your new cat even comes into your home, because it's going to help make things so much easier for you and your cats. However, we do know that sometimes circumstances might prevent this. You know, so a lot of the things that we talk about in our shows is kind of the ideal situation, but ideal doesn't always fit into our lives. So yeah, we do understand that.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like rush, 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 hurry, hurry, hurry.
Yeah.
But even in the rush, rush, hurry, hurry moments, you still have to have this sense of awareness, and you have to have at least a good foundation of how to properly do things. Mm-hmm.
So again, you want to create that base camp for your new cat, that this is going to be their temporary and sometimes possibly their permanent territory. So the first thing you need to do is choose where is going to be the best location in your home for both you and your cat. So don't just look at it from a place of convenience of, oh, well, I'm going to put them in the laundry room because it's out of the way and it's not going to interfere with my day-to-day stuff or something like that. Is that location going to be good for the new cat? So you could consider things like a bedroom, a spare room, a bathroom, or maybe you might have some other suitable and safe location. So a question to ask yourself is, if this ends up becoming their permanent territory, are you going to be able to accept this cat being in this location on an ongoing basis? And is your cat going to accept it?
Yeah. And I would think bathrooms may not be a good permanent place for your cat.
Well, I think it depends on the home, because if you've got like one of those half baths where it's just the toilet and the sink, mm-hmm. that's just a tiny space. Yeah. They've got no room to move. But, you know, if you are maybe more well off and you've got one of these huge bathrooms, then maybe that could work.
Maybe. As long as you don't need to use that bathroom that often. Should be going in and out of it a lot. I mean, you want to go in and out to be social with your new cat. But yeah. You also have to know that if you're going to use the room over and over again, this is their permanent space. You also have to make sure that you're keeping the animal safe. Is it going to get out? Is it going to try to get out? Is it a domineering type personality that just wants to have the throat of your other animal? Obviously, that's not always going to be the case. Like I said, Waizaki Zoo was a rare case. But if you're going to use it over and over again, go in and out, in and out, in and out, the chances of you having the cat escape, pretty high.
Yeah. And another challenge with a full bathroom is that it doesn't necessarily allow for things like cat trees and perches, and they often don't have windows or having the ability to create sort of like a den-like area for them. So it's an option that is generally better for a temporary situation.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, we never kind of know when it's going to be a temporary situation or not.
Well, in that case, then think about whether you have a secondary location you can set up. Mm-hmm. Or you might have to do what's best for the cat and rehome the cat mm-hmm. to a compassionate family who can give him a better life.
If you have a spare bedroom or an office or something like that, this is generally better because they're not going to have things like chemicals or cleaners like a laundry room could have, or a garage. I wouldn't recommend a garage at all.
Yeah.
And it also gives the cat enough room to move around and play. Plus, they make it easier to prevent any visual access. So whatever area you end up choosing to be their temporary or permanent home, you want to make it comfortable with things like a bedding area, blankets, towels. Some of these items can end up absorbing the scent of the new cat, which then you can put with the other cats and have kind of a scent exchange going mm-hmm. on. You can also look at cardboard or carpet scratchers. You want to include a litter box, food and water dishes, toys, perhaps a box or something for them to hide in. And the space should be big enough that you can keep the food and water dishes far away from the litter box. And the sleeping area should be far away from the litter box as well. If possible, try to shift your current cats to a scheduled feeding routine if they are free feeding. The reason for this is that it's going to allow your current cats and the new cats to experience a shared ritual together. When they are still being introduced through smell and vocalizations only, you can then feed them on either side of the door at the same time. So initially, you will start with the bowls far enough apart that none of the cats are going to feel any kind of threat from the resident cats or the new cat, but they need to still be close enough that the cats are still aware of the presence of the others. Schedule a veterinary visit as soon as possible to check the health of your new cat. If you don't already have some kind of a veterinary health check done from wherever you acquired your new cat from. Since not all contagious illnesses are going to show symptoms right away, you want to check for things like feline leukemia, FIP, which is feline infectious peritonitis, and FIV, which is feline immunodeficiency virus, because you want to help protect your resident cats from getting sick as well. Then the next thing you're going to do is location swapping. This should be fun. So what does that mean? It means that you're going to allow your new cat to check out the rest of the home while your resident cats are able to check out the base camp, but still not having any physical interaction with each other. Sound difficult?
It can be.
So what you're going to try and do is place your new cat in a bathroom or some other area where you can shut the door. Then you're going to encourage your resident cat or cats to come into where the base camp is and then shut the door so that they're in there and can't come out until you open the door again. Once you do that, then you open the door to where you've put the new cat and allow them to explore the other areas of your home. So this may need to be rinsed and repeated as often as necessary. And it's important for you to pay attention to your cat's reactions.
Yes, including the reaction of fear that the new cat might have if you give them a large space to investigate. Mm. If you have a large home and you're letting them have free reign, that may not be comfortable for the new cat to check out because that's too much territory. So you might have to, if you have a larger home, you might have to do little bits. Like if you have doors you can shut, like let them wander the living room and dining room on one session, or let them, you know, check out the hallway or something. Do it in segments because some cats are just very scared about having open spaces to explore because mm-hmm. they don't know what's in that area. So they're going to have their senses heightened. And if it's too big, that might freak them out a little bit. So little bits at a time, each session a little bit more might be better if you have a larger home.
Yeah, that's true. Because cats can have different levels of confidence. And they also could end up having fears that you are not aware of. You know, they could have fears of certain objects or fears of certain sounds and things like that. So, you know, if they hear the refrigerator making noise or something like that, that could potentially scare them.
Yeah.
So again, as we say pretty regularly, every animal is an individual. Yep.
Do what's best for the cat that you have.
So now we can move to the next step of visual access. Now, there's not really as much extra detail on this as there is for the other two steps. But if all of the cats seem to have accepted the scent and vocalization handshake, this does not necessarily mean that they're going to stay polite with each other once they actually see each other. So again, try to find a good quality pet gate or baby gate or screen door that you can place in the entrance to the base camp that is a good height. It can't be torn, it can't be squeezed through, it can't be jumped over, and it can't be knocked over.
Yeah, and we mentioned in the first half things that you can do to help make sure that the barriers are good enough for your individual cat.
Yeah, and also consider ease of access, because if you need to go in and out of there, how easy is it going to be for you to open that gate or screen door or something for you to get in and out?
Yeah, that's why baby gates that you can build up and make taller are pretty good, because you can open up a baby gate pretty easily.
So the way that this is going to work is that instead of closing the door all the time, now you can use a blanket or an alternative. Could be a towel, could be an old curtain, whatever. You can drape this over this barrier, and then you gradually raise this curtain a little bit at a time until they eventually get full visual access with each other without any drama. So you might start with just raising it an inch, and they kind of have to like look underneath to sort of see each other. And then you gauge their reactions to each other. And if they seem to be okay with it lower down, then you can raise it up another inch or so. And you just keep doing that. Again, like we said with the full complete barrier, now with this setup, you are again going to start feeding all of the cats well away from the base camp entrance, but still within sight of each other. And then you slowly move the food bowls closer together based on how your cats are reacting with each other. So you might find that you have it at one spot, they're fine. And then you move it a little bit closer and suddenly they're just like all agitated. If you notice that, move it back to the previous spot. And you might have to leave it there for a little bit And then maybe a couple of days later or something like that, try again to the closer spot. So finally, we get to the third step again of the physical engagement. This is by far the much more involved step.
Yeah. And the most unpredictable step.
Yes.
Because you don't know whether you're going to have an easy time of it or it's going to be a rough time.
Mm-hmm. So when you move to this step, it's not necessarily going to mean that the cats will want to engage with each other, nor is it going to mean that even though they tolerated each other through the visual access, that they're going to suddenly have a harmonious coexistence. Now, as we said before, you need to supervise this interaction.
Attentively supervise.
Yes.
The interaction.
Yes. If you just put them in a room together and they don't have anything else to occupy themselves with except each other, then they might end up interacting with each other in a very non-peaceful way. So you want to be prepared to intervene if any aggression or tension starts to arise. Don't wait until a fight actually breaks out. This is why you have to be paying close attention, because you need to look at their body language and their vocalizations to notice that, okay, things are not going very smoothly here. Wait, we need to separate them at this point.
And in this case, distraction's your first step. And then the next step is pick up the one that's not being aggressive and move it to a safe location.
Mm-hmm.
I had a situation when I first got Carly and her kittens. In the feline world, it is very typical that a male cat will kill kittens as a means of survival of the fittest.
Mm.
That's what tigers and lions do. It happens all the time. It can also happen with domesticated cats. And at this point in time, Carly had 4 kittens that were like 3-4 weeks old. She saw Sabine accidentally, was not intended. Sabine is a 15-pound male cat. Now, Gentle Giant was just curious. She went after him. And I did not have time to react. So I just went right in the middle of them. And I ended up having to go to the doctor because Carly ripped apart my arm and I had puncture wounds in my arm.
Mm.
That can happen if you don't do the previous steps. It's like right in to visual access and physical engagement. You may have a fight on your hand, but typically if you do the steps that we are laying out for you, distraction might be the only thing you need to break up the tension. So I would recommend you have, say, a large coffee table book or just a barrier or whatever that you can physically just put between and say, nope, 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 and get the attention of the aggressor. That mm-hmm. might be all you need. And then you pick up the less aggressive one and move them to a safe location. You have to be aware, because if it happens real quick, you may end up like I did with having to separate a mother cat from a male where she was protecting her kittens. And then I got the brunt of it because I was protecting the other cat. I didn't have those steps in place because I had just gotten Carly and the kittens and they were in 2 separate areas of the building I lived in. It was just that one freak moment that she saw him. Yeah. Do these steps, because you could be putting yourself at the doctor's office as well.
Mm. Yeah. So the way you're going to be able to have the most control over the situation is to choose a room with a closed door or find a way to block off any exits that are there. This way you are going to be able to more easily monitor what's going on and intervene if necessary.
Yeah.
So as we said before, provide toys, provide different kinds of enrichment products like climbing apparatuses, things that they can jump on, things that they can scratch, et cetera, et cetera. Encouraging play or interaction with you and anything else you can think of that might help to distract them from intensely focusing on each other. Use positive reinforcement. Now, this could be maybe controversial depending on different trainers and behaviorists and things like that, but consider rewarding each cat with treats or praise when they are displaying calm and non-aggressive behavior during the introduction process. This could help create positive associations and help to reduce the tension.
Yeah, definitely.
Sooner or possibly later, you're going to probably see the cats be able to coexist together. Maybe their relationship is going to be that they just ignore each other and just do their own thing. Or maybe they'll be able to interact with each other in a peaceful way. Or maybe they might even bond with each other and want to play with each other. So what you want to watch for as you are monitoring the physical engagement of all of these cats, watch for any possible stare downs, which will likely end up in a fight or a chase, which could then end up leading to a fight. But you're also going to look for whether there seems to be any tension in the body. I think if it already is getting to the point of growling and hissing, you might not have enough time to stop it at that point. The stare down is a really good indication that, okay, things are not going smoothly here. We need to take a break. So because you're not going to necessarily be able to prevent some type of agitation that can occur between the cats, you want to prepare for this possibility by blocking under beds, couches, or any area where one of the cats will end up trying to go to escape. Now, Victoria already mentioned using something possibly like a sight blocker. She used the word distraction, but you can use a sight blocker, which is something high, reasonably solid, and can't be seen through, that you are able to place between the cats prior to the chase or fighting beginning. This is, again, something to have, if you can, to prepare for in the preparation stage, where you already have something that you have thought of that, oh, this could be good for this situation. Because, of course, you don't want something that's going to be really heavy. You don't want something that they're going to be able to easily dart under or around. But you want to have something that you can easily access and quickly be able to put between them.
Yeah. Sometimes when you've done the proper steps, sometimes all it does is just take a simple distraction, not even a blocking device, but like just throw a toy or snap your fingers or say their name or something like that. It could just be as simple as that if you've done the steps we previously mentioned ahead of time, because the tension may not be as tense or as thick if you've done that properly.
Another option is that if the distraction of a toy or something like that, or the sight blocker, doesn't seem to stop the urge to start a fight, then you can also have a blanket handy that you can toss over one of the cats, probably the one that is not acting aggressive, but possibly the newcomer. If there are multiple cats, then maybe it's the newcomer that would be the best option to throw the blanket over. And then that way you can pick that cat up and remove them from the area. Now, it might be easy enough to be able to just pick them up without anything and take them back to their base camp. Again, this is where monitoring and sort of getting an idea of what their reactions are will help you to determine what is going to be the best method to try to stop any kind of aggressive behavior.
And just know that every cat's going to be different. So if you know your resident cat is more the problem than the newcomer cat, and you already have a way of dealing with your resident cat when it gets agitated, then it might be a little bit different. Every cat's different. Every situation's different. So you need to be aware and you need to act accordingly.
If you have somebody that can assist you with this introduction process, then consider bringing either the resident cats or the new cat into the location that you've chosen for the physical interaction. And one person ends up engaging or playing with the cats that are in this location, and then you or they, however you set that up, can bring the other cat or cats into the area.
It's like a tag team.
Because that way, if somebody is already engaging with the resident cats or the new cat already, then they're distracted when the other cat or cats are brought in. Now, the length of each physical engagement is going to be determined by you, but decide a length of time to commit to for a few days two longer if necessary. So we mentioned about 10 minutes maybe to start with, but you can decide if you want to do that shorter or longer, and then increase that time gradually as appropriate based on what your observations are of how the cats are interacting with each other. And ultimately, either you or the cats are going to decide how long each physical engagement session will be. The length of this process is going to likely be determined by their personality and their territorial desires. Because as we said, some cats can be very territorial and not accepting of other animals within their territory. Sometimes they can establish different areas of the home as their territory instead of the whole area. And sometimes females and males can have more conflict than two males. And two females can also, I think, often have more conflict than two males.
Yeah, females, they're the ones that rule the roost. So if you have a cat like my Saki Su, you're probably going to have a problem. But if you have a cat like my Guinevere, she's like, sure, bring them on in. I'm happy. So it all depends. But females can be very unpredictable when it comes to acceptance of another female.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, I have noticed with all of my cats that the males were more accepting than the females.
Mm-hmm.
And a female may accept a male quicker than a female will accept another female.
Mm.
But again, every cat's going to be different. But that's what I've had in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the females with the females that have the biggest problems.
Mm-hmm.
The males are like, sure, bring in another cat. I'm cool.
Mm-hmm. Remember that the introduction process is going to take time.
Mm-hmm.
It could range from days to several weeks to maybe several years. And it all depends on the cats that are involved. So your patience and your consistent efforts are going to be key to whether these introductions are successful or not. If you are unsure or are encountering difficulties during the introduction process, you may need to consult with a professional animal behaviorist or a veterinarian that is experienced in cat behavior so that they can provide you some guidance and support. And again, know that in some cases, nothing you do is going to work. And they're just going to end up having to be in separate homes, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
At least if you care about the stress levels and physical well-being of the new cat.
Yeah.
Again, every cat is unique and the introduction process is going to vary depending on their individual personalities and past experiences.
If you get a cat from a shelter and they've had trauma, it's going to be a different situation than a kitten who has never seen another cat other than its mom and its siblings.
Mm-hmm. So just keep monitoring their behaviors closely, their reactions closely, and make adjustments accordingly. That's going to help ensure a smoother transition. You'll know you've reached success when all cats can engage with each other relatively harmoniously.
And they may not be best buds, but they'll tolerate each other.
Right. It's very valuable to provide access to a variety of levels in your home where cats can vary between being ground dwellers, bush dwellers, or tree dwellers, meaning that sometimes they like to be down low, sometimes they like to be up high, and sometimes they like to be somewhere in between. So if you provide that to your cats, particularly if you have a multi-cat household, plus you have individual sleeping areas for each cat, multiple litter boxes, more than the cats that you have, plus toys and all of that kind of stuff. This is going to really help avoid competition and really help to minimize stress and territorial challenges that could occur among your cats.
And one final note, we've mentioned this in past seasons, but if you have more than one male cat, a lot of times male cats do not like to share litter boxes. Sometimes they will. But most times they don't. And we've also mentioned way back in our first season in regards to litter boxes is you want at least one more box than the amount of cats. So if you have two cats, have at the very least two, but three litter boxes is going to be ideal. And you don't want to put them all in the same spot. You want to put them in the places where the cats spend the most time. So if you have a house that has a couple of different levels, you want at least one litter box on each level. An animal should never have to walk a mile to go to the bathroom. So if you have a two-floor house, make sure you have at least one box on each floor. And if you have two cats, three boxes is the most ideal. If you don't have that space, then at least do what you can to provide them with the spaces they need.
So hopefully this is going to help you create a much smoother transition between your resident cats, maybe your other resident animals, and any new cats that you might introduce in the future. And if you've got any questions, if you've got any comments, please reach out to us at theanimalfilespodcast@gmail.com. You can also go onto our website at theanimalfilespodcast.com, and we've got all of the podcast episodes on there. We've got our socials. We've got different resources that is continually being built up. And if you like what we're doing and would like to support us, there are a variety of ways on the website that you can do that as well.
Yep. So that was a lot of stuff that we talked about. Again, any questions, any comments, email us to animalfilespodcast@gmail.com, and we will see you next time on The Animal Files. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to rate, review, and recommend the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want some more great info, be sure to check out www.theanimalfilespodcast.com.